Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and doing of his word. Elder Eric asked a very profound question earlier when he said, how many of you knew that you would be here today? And as I pondered that question, just sitting over there, it's like, I didn't even know if I was going to be here this morning. And it only goes back to the faithfulness and the goodness of God is why we're here today. And we praise God for that. Our sermon is entitled, You Have Seen. You Have Seen. Let's pray together. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You have seen. There is a popular saying that goes, seeing is believing. This basically means if I don't see it, I'm not going to believe it. Our U.S. justice system has historically relied heavily on the eyewitness testimony as the cornerstone of the system. Many times, we've seen or heard these questions asked of individuals proposed to be eyewitnesses. What did you see? When did you see it? What did you hear? And who said it? However, at one point in Jesus' earthly ministry, he stated to Thomas, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe." At every turn and every juncture in the Christian experience, we are encouraged to have faith. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. This faith walk has many twists and turns. Our walk is not always based on what we see. Our walk is not always based on what we don't see. It is a walk based on the word of God. It is a walk based on his promises. It is a walk of faith. Hebrews 11:1 puts it this way. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does it mean to walk by faith? What does walking by faith look like? What does walking by faith feels like? How does one know if he or she is walking by faith? Well, faith is not a feeling. If faith was a feeling, we would be off today and on tomorrow. We would be up this morning and down this afternoon. So our faith cannot be based on our feelings. Faith is not presumption. That is, acting without God's authority or ignoring his command or assuming his favor without obedience. In the book, Gospel Worker, page 260, it states this: genuine faith has its foundation in the promises and provision of the scriptures. Faith claims God's promises and bring forth fruit in obedience. Faith should have led our first parents to trust the love of God and obey his commands. However, their presumptions led them to transgress God's law. Faith then takes God at his word. As Christian believers, we have no evidence that heaven exists. Yet we believe it does based on the word of God and his prophets. Romans chapter 10 puts it this way. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Our faith is strengthened when we hear the word of God. Our faith is renewed when we hear the word of God. Our hope and confidence in God increases when we hear and read the word of God. Our understanding and belief of the biblical account of creation week is faith in and of itself. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. We wasn't there. We didn't speak to anyone who was there. However, we believe by faith that heaven existed. In fact, it says this, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Rahab confessed total faith in Yahweh, the eternal self-existent God, based on what she heard. In Joshua chapter 2 says this, for we heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. The NIV puts it this way, whom you completely destroyed. Verse 11, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God in heaven above and the earth beneath. Here we see this Canaanite woman, whom the Bible describes as a harlot, believing in the God of creation. Not based on what she saw, not based on what she felt, not based on her experience, but based on what she heard. As a result, Rahab's entire family was saved because of her faith in action. The scripture states, faith without works is dead. Rahab's action of keeping her agreement with the spies a secret and tying a red scarlet thread in the window was her faith at work. Rahab and her family's salvation was secure, woven by the threads of faith and obedience. In the middle of a decadent, corrupt culture and Rahab's own sinful lifestyle, God, in his grace, saw a spark of faith through which he could save her. This is a quotation taken out of last quarter's Sabbath school lesson. Unlike Rahab, the children of Israel saw firsthand how God delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. The children of Israel were fully aware of the first plagues and how the rivers turned into blood. They were there at the last plagues at midnight as the death angel went from house to house, striking the firstborn in every home where there was no blood placed across the doorposts. They were there and saw that night how the Egyptians in terror cried a great cry, for there was not a house where there was not one that was dead. They were there and they saw family, friends, and acquaintances packing their earthly possessions with the expectation that their deliverance was at hand. And just as God promised, he fulfilled his word by delivering Israel from their captors. Every challenge that presented itself to Moses and Israel was an opportunity for them to place their faith and trust in God. The demonstration of God's power by parting the Red Sea, allowing the children of Israel to walk on dry ground and seeing their enemies dead upon the shore should have led them to a time of reflection upon what had taken place these past few months. However, that was not the case. You know the story. Israel murmured and complained. Their murmuring and complaining demonstrated a lack of faith and trust in God. And that ultimately led to the creation and worship of the golden calf. I can see it in my mind's eye right now. Israel singing and dancing and chanting, "These be our gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Exodus chapter 32 and verse 4. As a result of Israel's disobedience, lack of faith, and other offenses, only Joshua and Caleb was allowed entrance into the promised land. What a massive contrast. A whole generation of people, over a million, lost at the border's edge of the promised land because of their rebellion, disobedience, and lack of faith. Yet Rahab and her entire family, standing as an example for us today, because of Rahab's obedience, trust, and faith in God, Rahab and her entire family were saved. The story of Rahab is a testament for those who are living a riotous life. But somewhere along the way, they heard about Jesus. Somewhere along the way, they heard how Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, and gave sight to the blind. They believed by faith and experienced God's changing power. In Exodus 14, Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, yet they never made it into the promised land. Rahab and her family were saved by the grace of God. In Joshua chapter 23, we get a different look. In Joshua chapter 23, Joshua is now in a phase of retirement, if you will. Israel has experienced a level of peace, for the Bible says in Joshua chapter 23, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies." During Joshua's time of retirement, he had time to reflect on the goodness of God. He had time to reflect on what God had did for Israel. Joshua, now in retirement, no more was he having late night meetings as it relates to the battle, the next battle that was to come. No more was he engaged in early morning briefings as related to a spy's report. Joshua now had the opportunity to experience peace and tranquility. And it is in this environment that Joshua says these words. Joshua called the children of Israel and all of the leaders and all of the elders and all of the judges and all of those who are in leadership. He calls them together, and Joshua says, "I am old and stricken in age." But he says in verse 3, "You have seen. You have seen all that the Lord has done unto these nations." Joshua does not give credit to himself of being a great military leader and saying how he led them into battle and they won. Joshua does not point to himself, but Joshua points and gives glory and credit to God. He says, Joshua states at the beginning of his address by giving glory to God and saying that it was God who delivered you. It was God who brought you through. It was God who fought for you. Joshua wanted to press upon the minds of those leaders and the children of Israel that it was their faith and obedience in what God had already done. That's where he wanted them to rest their faith in obedience. Joshua says, you have seen. You have seen how God commissioned me to lead Israel and promised to be with me as he was with Moses. You have seen how God stopped the Jordan River from flowing so Israel could walk on dry land. You have seen how after defeat at Ai, God later turned that defeat into victory. These and other victories and miracles were all accomplished because God was with Joshua and Israel. And if God was with Joshua and Israel then, God will be with you and I. Just as God fought for Israel, God will fight for you and I. Just as God promised to be with Israel, God has promised to be with you and I. For he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, for I love you with an everlasting love. Joshua chapter 23 and verse number 5, the word of the Lord says this, and the Lord your God, he shall expel them from you. That word expel, another definition for expel is, he shall drive out, he shall force out your enemy from before you. Here we see where Joshua will speak with confidence that God will do what he say he will do. In Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 28, God says this to Moses. He'll send hornets to drive out the enemies from Israel. These hornets was used as a tool by God to bring about a specific outcome, primarily the defeat and displacement of Israel's enemies. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 12, the Bible says this, and I have sent the hornets before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword or thy bow. And I have given you a land which you did not labor, and a city which you built not, and you dwell in them, and of the vineyards and the olive yards which you planted, yet you eat. Here we see the faithfulness of God on behalf of his people. But Joshua says this to the leaders and the people of Israel, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of Moses. Be ye therefore very courageous. That is language that is used in Joshua chapter 1. God speaks to Joshua, and God tells Joshua that Moses, his servant, is dead. God gives encouragement to Joshua, and God tells Joshua, just as I was with Moses, I too will be with you. It is in Joshua chapter 1 that you will find these words in verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to the law. Similar language. Joshua chapter 23 and verse number 6. Joshua tells the children of Israel and the leaders, be ye therefore courageous to keep all that is written in the book of the law. Joshua is here basically saying what God told him. But not only that, when you look at Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse number 6, hear what Moses tells Joshua. Moses is now about to leave earth, and he says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake you. There is a constant theme. Moses tells Joshua not to be afraid. Be of good courage. God tells Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead, and I will be with you just as I am with Moses. And now Joshua is giving his final address to Israel, and he is saying basically the same things. He is regurgitating and saying what he's heard in times past. Here, Joshua, the minister of Moses, is now telling Israel, be ye therefore very courageous to do all and to keep all that is written in the book. In other words, Joshua is saying the only way that you and I can keep what's written in the book is going to take courage. It's going to take courage for you and I to stand before people and live a righteous life. It takes courage to live in these last and evil days. It takes courage to trust in God when all others are not. And here Joshua encourages Israel, be very courageous and to be strong. And he says the reason why is, he says, not only should you be courageous and strong, he also encourages them, Joshua chapter 23 and verse 7, don't mingle with the other nations. This was not about racial separation, as it was more about spiritual separation. Joshua had time to reflect. And Joshua knew that if Israel did not stay close to God, if Israel did not cleave to God, they would be susceptible in going back to old behavior. They would be susceptible in going back and worshiping the gods of other nations. And so he tells them, don't mingle with them. He tells them, don't serve them, nor bow yourselves down to them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven them out before you, great and strong nations. But as for you, no man has been able to stand before you unto this day. Here, Joshua is steadily encouraging Israel, cleave unto the Lord your God. Trust in the Lord your God and obey him. He says in verse 11, take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Here, when you look at these first few verses of Joshua chapter 23, there is a constant drumbeat, if you will, of trusting in God, believing in God. It was God who delivered you. It was God who fights for you. It is God who loves you. It is God who provides for you. It is this constant drumbeat that Joshua is trying to convey a message to Israel. Trust in the Lord your God. Why? Because you have seen. We've been singing this morning how faithful God is. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Donna sung the song that he has been faithful. And God is faithful, and he has been faithful, and I believe he will continue to be faithful. God is faithful at his word. But here in these first 11 verses, Joshua is saying to Israel, if you obey God, if you trust God, he will be faithful. He will deliver you. He will fight for you. But Joshua is also saying that if you don't obey God, if you don't trust God, God will allow the enemy to overtake you. Notice what it says in verse number 12. Else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnants of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and you to them. Know for certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you. Here, Joshua is saying, if you trust in God, if you believe in God, everything will be all right. But Joshua is also saying, if you choose to go back, if you choose not to trust in God, God will allow these nations to overtake you. You have seen, is what Joshua says to Israel. And as I looked at that text, I began to look at my own life. You have seen. You have seen, Charles, what God did in 2025. You have seen how he has provided for you. You have seen, Charles, how he has protected you. You have seen how you was almost in that car accident, and yet and still, you're still here. You've seen how day after day, food has been on your table, a roof over your head, shoes on your feet. You have seen, Charles, how he has not allowed the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Have you seen how God has blessed you? Have you seen how God has protected you? How you've seen how God has provided for you and your family? Joshua says to Israel, you have seen this second generation. They've seen how God dried up the Jordan. They've seen how God made a way out of no way. They've seen how God fought for them. And just as God fought for Israel, just as how God fought for Joshua, God will fight for you and I. He says, I love you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God loves us. He cares for us. And we can see, if we only just take a moment to reflect, Joshua had some 20 years to reflect on all that he's seen. He didn't just see what God did at Jericho. It was God. It was the children of Israel who obeyed God, and they walked around the walls of the city of Jericho. And as a result of walking around the city of Jericho, the walls came tumbling down. It wasn't some military feat on Joshua's part. It was faith in the word of God and obedience. And the word is saying to you and I today, if we trust it, if we have faith in him, if we obey his every word, regardless of what we see. Remember, Rahab, she believed based on what she heard. You have seen. Think back. The question Eric asked. Did you think you would be here day 10 of the new year? Did you know for a certainty in January of last year that you would be here January of this year? I don't know what tomorrow holds. I cannot predict the future. But if I look at the word of God, and if I take it at face value, here Joshua says, you've seen. You've seen the mighty hand of God. And the question that I ask, have you seen God working in your life? Have you seen God working in the life of your family? We've heard some testimony here today, how God has blessed us, how we have been through some storms in our lives, and yet God brought us through. You've seen. And the God that brought you through year 2025, if he brought you through that, whatever that is, if God brought you through 2025 and you're here today, the 10th day of the new year, 2026, if God did that, imagine what God can do and will do in 2026. You have seen. Now that you've seen, I think of this song. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you so much for what you've did for us last year. And from the moment we experience life. Father, I believe that all in this room, we can truly say we have seen how you've blessed us. We can all say we have seen how you have kept us, how you provided for us, and how you protected us. We've seen, Lord, how you have healed us, how you've healed our family members and our friends, and we thank you. We pray now, dear Lord, that as a result of what we've seen, that our faith, our trust, and our confidence in you will grow all the more. I pray that you would empower us to obey your every word. We thank you for this time that you've allowed for us to be here with one another and with you. I pray now, Lord, that you would bless us and keep us. I pray that you would cause your face to shine upon us and grant us your peace. Peace in our hearts, peace in our homes, peace when we go out and when we come in. Peace when we lie down. But Lord, I pray that you would grant us your peace when we rise to the dawn of a brand new day. Grant us your peace, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.